Father, we crown you tonight, Lord. We praise your holy name. Lord, tonight there's nobody else like you, Father. You are among us, Lord. We are so privileged to know that you don't have to come, Lord, but you come anyway. So, Father, I want to acknowledge you. I want to honor you, Lord. I want to give you glory, Father God. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you see us, that you love us, that you want to be there where we are, Father. Lord, may you be glorified tonight. Thank you, Father, for loving us first, Lord. Bless your name. In Jesus' name, amen. Good evening, church. As our beliefs are, is always a testimony or so, that maybe something happened to you through the week, or you've got something to say, the mic is open. Pastor Richard and Jolene always urge us to testify. So if somebody has a testimony, you can come to the front.
It is not directly a testimony, but is there anyone who says, I am the least of these? I used to think, I'm the least of these, I have no hope and no future. But as we were driving, I've seen the hand of the Lord in a mighty way. So that has changed totally. But when we were listening, as we were driving to church, what is the artist? Ray Bolz. An old, old song. And the song was sort of the chorus, like, when others see a shepherd boy, I see a king. And I thought, wow, that is it. The Lord has borne a DNA in each and every one of us, uniquely. And the Lord knows the ways he has and the path he has for each and every one of us. So never give up. Hold your eyes, keep your eyes on Jesus, and let him direct your every step of the way. He is faithful, and what he starts in you, he will complete. Amen. Is there someone else? A lot of people there are, but...
Young dame, you can have the mic.
You know, last week, I said to myself, we sit with a lot, but we don't speak about it. We can never say that we don't have a testimony. Just by being here, just by knowing that the Lord, the grace of the Lord for this week alone is a testimony. Because we live in such dark times. I prefer to preach with eyes closed, so much easier. The sermon title, that is why it's so difficult to preach the sermon. This is something that the Lord has been speaking about me for such a time. And that is how to listen well. And I think We don't need to talk if somebody wants us still. Somebody wants us quiet. But I will share with you how the Lord helped me and how he trained me. And maybe it can help somebody else. Because what I've learned is before you preach, let the sermon first talk to you before you bring it to others. I don't need to tell you all that we are a bunch of people who like to talk. If you can tell me now, no, I'm not talking, I'm very quiet. I don't know if I'm going to believe that. I'm an evangelist, and I can tell you the most easiest way to evangelize. Some people say, it's difficult for me. It's not for me. Because I've got a secret weapon. I go to the people, go to the person, and I ask him something about him or her. There the conversation go. Just ask somebody, how are you doing? What are you doing? Where are you at? Then people speak. Because people love themselves. People love to speak about themselves. And we say sometimes, no, not I. I'm an introvert and I don't like that. But I can tell you now, just hand over the mic, then people are going crazy. They love themselves. They love their own voices. So when I came to the Lord, it was with fire and everything. And I want to get everyone in the kingdom, no matter how. I want you there. And I have a tendency of stuff that I can do very, it's easy for me, but somebody else don't go that easy. But when you are on fire, you want people to be where you at. But the gracious hand of God is somebody that can stop us. Somebody that can say, no, not that way, this way. And this is what I want to share with you of how the Lord wants us quiet to hear his heart for us. And when we are chat all the time, we don't hear his voice. We don't hear him speaking. Because how can we hear somebody speak, talk if we are talking? And I see this in the generation of now coming to Christ. I'm not old, guys. But I still go old school. When we come to the Lord, the only thing we want to do is read the Bible, worship, pray. That's prior to a Christian. Nowadays, you come into the kingdom and you are the teacher or the preacher. Done. You didn't hear somebody, you didn't go through all the stuff. You just want to preach. And the Lord really showed me how he feels about us not listening to him. I've got a testimony to share before I go in. I forget about it, but as we was worshiping, the Lord reminded me about this testimony. I think it was in COVID time. Pastor Tiens comes to Cape Town every year still to go to all the prisons to do his work. He loved prison ministry. So he came to Cape Town, was calling me and said to me, sis, will you go with me again to prisons? I said, okay, I will go with you. We've got a big team of Cape Town. They are organizing everything. He just needs some speakers and some preachers to go with him. And he said to me, I think about you. Will you go? I said to him, okay, I will go with you. Monday morning come, I said, it's Monday. Please let it not be Monday. He said, no, it's okay. It will be Tuesday. I said, okay, because Nita's off. Nita, will you take me to prison? I need to go preach. Christians is going to get me there. And as we drive, he's calling me and telling me he can't come today. He will do the slot on Thursday. So I'm on my own with these guys from Cape Town. I know them. Like, I know they are spiritual workers who come in, but we are not connected. I'm from so far. We are there on a Thursday. They are there on a Wednesday. So as I come, Sean said to me, thank you so much, Liesl, because you are the speaker for today. And they had a whole team, and we go in. It's not my normal team that I go to. It's the people of the Maximum side. I was there years ago, but not at that stage. And as we enter that place, the guys were like, you know, if you weren't in prison yet, you won't understand how that guys operate. When they see a woman, it's like, they go for it. It's names, it's just, they look at you, they go on. You got uncomfortable if you don't know them. So this sweet little white girl coming with Sean and their team, and she's going to lead the worship. And you know what? They were really on it. They didn't worship at all. They were looking at her and just carrying on all the time. And then there was a guy coming out of prison, and he went forward to share his testimony. He was in prison. It's a colored guy. And as he was going for it, nobody could even hear what the guy was speaking about because they were disrespectful. They just carry on. And now it comes that Nita is like, "Sis, I'm worried. How are you going to preach? Look at this guy. What is going on?" She said, I'm so fearful right now. Because if they don't have respect for this people, what are they going to do with you, your woman?" And in that time, as I was sitting there, I quieted my heart and I said, "Lord, if you want me to speak, help me to speak. It's not for me, Lord. This is your people. Whatever you want to do, Lord, do it. I'm just available and I'm obedient. Do what you want to do." And I don't know what happened, but the Lord told me to keep quiet. People don't like quietness. It's uncomfortable. You want people to speak. You come to church so that somebody speaks. I said, "Lord, how do you mean quiet?" He said, "Quiet. Just be quiet." So it's my time. And there I go, and I go stand in front of them. And I'm quiet, as the Lord commands. And now I can see Sean, he's the leader. He said, "Please, you can't just stand here. They are going on. Wah, wah, wah." And you know what? Suddenly, something struck them. And they're like, "Hoekom praat die auntie nie? Wat gaat die aan? Onnamaka, wat gaat met die auntie?" And the auntie's quiet. Until they become quiet. And you know, that day the Lord showed me this. People don't want your knowledge. They want somebody who want to listen to them. So they think, "Oh, all you guys with all the knowledge, and you come here with the Bible, you're going to tell me stuff. I'm not in the mood to listen to you." But when somebody tried to check out, "What do you want?" Now they're quiet. And as I have their attention, I said to them, "Guys, can we speak now? Can I speak now?" And they look at me, still quiet. And there was this one guy, and he's like, his face is like, and I said, "You know what, my nephew's brother is doing this. You're like a child. Just stop this. Stop this stuff. I'm going to speak, and you are going to listen." And you know what? That day, the grace of God helped me to share a message where hardened hearts got softened. In 30 guys with the gunya come to salvation in prison that day because of being obedient. Because I could go in with who I think I am now. And this is the thing that God wants from us. I was reading the book of James all the time, and you know how James is not like the other books. James and Mark are similar. They are books that go for it. Just do it. Do it. Do this. Do that. And James is not afraid to tell you, you need to be slow to speak and quick to listen. And there's a reason. Because when we're not listening to somebody, we can't love well. Because it goes back to us again. Because you said to yourself while you're listening to somebody, "What should I answer now? What can I do? It's part of us. It's part of us. We want to have the right answer. We want to counsel somebody. We want to say somebody something. But sometimes people don't come to you to get an answer. They just want you to listen to them. In prison, that was a principle that the Lord taught me. I went to prison with a lot of men. I'm the only woman. Pastor Tiens is in front. He is the main prisoner. Then the whole of Stellenbosch interns, we're going in. Now the guys come and they preach and they going and they get. And I ask the guys, who are you? What are you here for? What? And it started small. And one night, in a dream, the Lord just gave me a dream over this prison guys. And he said to me, you know what? Look at this bottle. And I wish I can have a bottle like that. But you all know a bottle that are just laying out outside with a lot of grass and stuff in that bottle. And the Lord showed me a bottle like that. And he showed me, you throw water in that bottle. And the water don't go in. The water is pouring out the outside of the bottle. And he said to me, you know what? The prison guys are like this. You come and you want to fill something that's already full. You need to let them empty out before you come and you start. And I speak to Pastor Tiens about it. I said to him, Tiens, I'm not preaching at prison, because at that stage, they said, okay, we do it. We are the men. And he said to me, Liesl, you know what happened to us? The guys speak through the grapevine. If Tiens is preaching, this one is preaching, three guys in the church. When you are going to share, what's going on? When all the guys are coming. And I said to them, I asked them first, what is on your heart? What happened to you through this week? What are you struggling with? And now the guys come and he said, you know what? Last night, somebody raped me. How can I come in this place? And you said to me, God is good, and this stuff happened to me. Now you understand why the guy is the way he is. Isn't this the same with us? People come to church, people ask, I need your help. I've been hurt by this one and that one and that. And you said, stop, did you forgive? Stop, you need to do that. Let somebody talk. Let somebody bring out everything that they need. And you are quiet. The Lord is a very good listener. God listened to us all the time. He said he inclined his ear to listen to the righteous. What if we come to Christ, if we come to the throne room as we listen this morning, he listened to our hearts. God doesn't speak when I'm speaking. He's quiet when I'm speaking. I don't know how to be quiet. That is why we feel, how is God communicating to me? But we go into the throne room, but our heads are busy. You don't switch off. You say, I can't hear the voice of God. I want to go deep. I want to save that people. I want to do this. But I don't want to sacrifice being quiet. Now we're suffering outside of the throne room. Outside of the throne room, we come and we speak fleshy stuff with people because we don't ask, Lord, please give me something for this person. I give my words. And my words means nothing. It's when God gives me a word for somebody, change come. Because that person don't need me. They need Jesus. And this is where we miss the mark. We need to talk. We don't listen. The Lord, through James, always, it carries on through James chapter 3, where James urges the guys that we all are not teachers. We all are not teachers. And everyone wants to be a teacher. If I can't teach, I feel like a failure. But the people that are listening are the people that are doing God's will. I can tell it to you. I'm working with these guys. People look at me and they're like, oh, Liesl can talk a lot. Liesl can. My husband asked Nita and the kids, what is wrong with her? She said she's going to pray, but she sit there. Her eyes is closed, she just sit. What? That's not prayer. Because you don't know that I need to be quiet to receive. Then they write a letter telling me, We're going now because we see you. You're not going to come up easy. But then he fooled me and I go out. Sometimes people say, who are you? Who do you think you are? But they don't know your sacrifice. You are not in the quiet room. It's better to stand here. It's better to run and do all the stuff. But you don't love him. You don't want to be with him. I see the books of from John chapter 14. And it was so beautiful for me. I picture the book and I see it's a teacher and all the children are sitting around. And it's only three people asking a question in John chapter 14. I'm like, this is good news. In the Afrikaans Bible, we don't see that because we don't see the red letters where Jesus is speaking. But in our English Bible, we see, oh, he's speaking alone and everybody is listening. Chapter 15, there's nobody speaking, only Jesus. Chapter 15, 17, only Jesus and the Father. And I said, Lord, it's so beautiful to see there's only one person and the disciples are listening. Therefore, they can go out afterwards and do your work. Because nobody is speaking, they listen. When I come to you and I tell you, this is how I feel. I don't mean that I want to answer from you. I just want to tell you this is how I feel. Church, is it only me or is this us? We want to answer. We want to have an answer. We want to tell you what I think. And it's normal. Somebody come to you. You already want to tell them, you know, that scripture said that and that. You know, the people don't come for that. Just listen to me. One woman, she's an alcoholic woman. And I was at a funeral in October. And I wasn't part of the funeral. I was just there. And as I was sitting there, the people were preaching and everyone's going for it. You know, we in Shofar Church are very soft, Derek. You go out there, the people, rah, 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 rah. You don't even know now, but the guys kept going for it. So at the funeral, I can't shout like that. There I need to be. People need you to be soft, but the people are preaching. And I sit there listening to this guy, and the Lord turned my eyes to the family of the deceased. And I look at them, and I said, yes, Lord, I see them. I want you to pray for the family. And I said, Lord, I can't pray for the family. I'm not part of the service. You need to be part. They need to ask. You are doing this. You ask the coloreds at a funeral. You have your part. You can't just come here and say you want to do something. You need to be on the, there's a list that you're on. And I'm not part of that list. So I said, Lord, I'm not part of that list. If you want me to say something, you need to do it. As soon as I get the thought, the guy asked, is there somebody who want to say somebody or something? And I said, I think this is my cue now. And I asked, can I pray for the family, please? And I just pray for them. And I start praying for the family, and the family start weeping. Because there's a whole commotion, but it's not about them. You're so busy to now tell the people that if you're not saved, you go to hell. There's a place for that. But these people are in mourning and they need you. They don't need you now to go on like that. So they start really weeping. These people have a big stoop, so you need to get down. So as I'm coming down, the funeral is still busy. Here, this woman stand in front of me, and I can see, Sy was lekker gekeer hier vorige. Staan voor my. Sister, was jy nie vir my bid nie? En ek sê, vir die diens is nog aan. Kan jy bietjie wag? Nee, ek wil net vir my bid. En ek, I said, Lord, should I pray? And I just took her in my arms and I softly just start praying for her. And she said to me, I had a little boy and he's got asthma, and I want you to pray for him, please. I said, okay, I'll pray. You just stand in the gap, I will pray for you. The Lord didn't leave it there. A week, 2 weeks after that, I went to the ministry this morning, and it was a morning of where the people received their all pay, and the woman with the little boy was in the shop. And so I look at her, but before even seeing her, I see this little one. And you know, you can somehow see he's undernourished. We call it alcohol syndrome or something, where you can see something is wrong, something is off. And you know what? I was filled with compassion, looking down on him. So I just pick him up, and I softly just telling him that he's so beautiful, and how the Lord loves him, and that he is so beautiful. And that was all, Rosita. Friday evening, the lady walked past my mom's house again. She see the car of Nita, and she comes in. And she said, oh, are you here again? I just want to tell you the story. And I was listening to her without thinking, oh, I can tell you something. I can teach you something. I just listened to her. And she said to me, now she know that God is real. Because it was last year in October, and a boy never got sick again. She said he didn't get an attack again. He's healthy. And she said, because you prayed for him. And I didn't even pray for him. And that was a lesson again. You don't need to go karabasata. You don't need to do that. You just love people and people will get healed. Because people want to see Jesus through us. That one. It's alcoholics who see, don't know Jesus. But the response is, now see, know Jesus is alive. Because a boy is healthy. And she asked me, can you come to my house and come and just pray for my family? Pray so that I can turn my heart as well. And I said, thank you, Lord, that I listened to this woman. Thank you, Lord, that in this funeral, I didn't feel, not now, God, not now. You can't come to me. I can't pray for you because there's a lot of people. The Lord wants us to be available and obedient, and we will eat the fruit of the land. We don't need to have the PhDs if we are available, if we are obedient. We've got all different giftings, but we are all necessary in the kingdom. Because you can't go where I go, but I can't go where you are. But do you listen to your people at work? Every week, Alfred got a new problem. Every day, Rosita. And then he tell me his story over and over and over and over again. And after 4 years, he come to salvation. What if I feel, not now. I don't want you to tell me that story again. Jesus did. The story in the Bible is so beautiful. There's a lot of people, and Jesus walked, and all the church people is around him, and the blind Bartimaeus sitting there. And he shouted, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stopped. If you read that story, the church people say, no, just leave the king. What's wrong with you? Los net die koning af. Jy pla vir hom, jy's blind, los gaan. Jesus stop. How should Jesus listen? Somebody's calling him in that crowd if his spirit is not quiet. But intensely, he come to listen to others. He comes to listen. He was... Lerato shared a story now 3 weeks ago. It was so beautiful. Somebody else went through the same thing, and I go pray for that woman. And that woman was in such a state. She He came into church eating that bubblegum. Put a bubblegum on the chair next to her. I come to sit there. The bubblegum is still on my jeans. And I look at the bubblegum and I think about Tani Blanche don't love bubblegum. See, she said, Liesel, is Heinrich going to eat bubblegum now? Heinrich said, no, it's a sweet. Oh, you don't eat bubblegum in the place. Because you know stuff like that happen. And she's eating a bubblegum like that. And I come to her and I ask, are you okay? You want to talk? No. I said, okay. Thought because you're crying, maybe you want to talk. But it's okay if you don't want to talk. Can I just sit here? Yes, if you want to. And you know what? That's already a no. Just leave me alone. And I said, okay, Lord, I will leave her alone. I just grab a little hand and sit there. After feeling like in half an hour, that's only 3 seconds that you're quiet, she starts gripping me and crying. Oh, this happened to me. I still hate that man that did that. I hate him. She asked me, do you know my uncle this? And I don't know. But I just listen. Let it come out. Let it come out. This week, Sunday, when we were at the cross, he's here again. She came to me. She said to me, do you know what? I forgive that people. I forgive my parents that was aware of all this stuff. And they just leave everything. But she said to me, you know what was so cool? You were listening to me. So we come with our story. But then the leaders, the pastors, the elders, the everyone say, oh, I've got the answer for you. Nobody wants an answer. Everyone wants to be heard. If you are somebody who love to talk, it's okay. The Lord have grace for us because that's me. But ask the Lord, Lord, help me. Lord, help me. You know, we are two different people, me and Nita. Can I tell you this secret? The people say, oh, Liesel is talking all the time, poor Nita. Oh, you're so wrong. You are so wrong. You are so wrong. Church, I know you're in shock because you said, oh, poor Nita, so quiet. You know what? People are not who you see them. And this is what's happening. In church, you're like, at home, your husband asks you, can you bring me a bit of water? No, bring your own water. In church, Pastor Richard don't ask, then you run with the water. This is how we've got our own actions. We've got our own actions. So if, because I'm who I am, people said to me, if I'm doing the offering, Liesel, only 5 seconds. Then people look at Dirk, he's not speaking a lot. Then Dirk come and then they should say, Dirk, no, stop. Then Liesel is done. You see, we don't really know each other. Because I'm speaking, it's not that I'm not listening. I need to listen. Where the Lord is using me, I need to listen. It's crucial. If I go to prison without listening, Rosita, never heard through the grapevine, a spoon is gone. When a spoon is gone in prison and you coming there without knowing that, you are in big trouble. You are in big trouble. Because they get that spoon sharp like a knife and they hurt anyone coming inside. I can tell you a secret of Pastor Richard. He said to me, Liesel, I'm not going to prison with you. I'm not going again. Are they taking us in this cell with this people, with nobody around? I can't do this. I can't. Pastor Richard was so afraid. And he asked me, how can you be in this place? And that time, me and him and Pastor Tiens come back to prison, from prison. And I said to him, Richard, if you love well, you don't need to be afraid. You don't need to be afraid if you love well. People see if you come. You come with your story. You're not worried about me. You just come so that I can go home and say, oh, I did prison ministry and oh, da, da, da. They don't look for that. People in prison are more real than we could be ever outside. They are real. And they see you are not here for me. You are here so that you can be heard and then you go again. And that is not why the Lord sent me to prison. He sent me there to listen to the guys. If I know what they've been going through, I can say, okay, now I can do it. I want you to listen. The first day as I entered prison, I saw this boy and I said, oh, Lord, why I love him. He said, I want you to love him now. It's a black guy. I don't know. I'm colored. White people are scarce in prison because they don't want to come to church. They want to, they just leave me alone. You don't come preach for me. The colored guys, the black guys, they are open. Help me. So they sit there and this little one, I looked at him and I just get a love for him. And the Lord said, I want you to love him. He's going through a lot. And ek dink die Afrikaanse mense ken vir geweld, né? Ai, Here, geweld is 'n gevaarlike man. Hoe noem ek dink sy naam is Gerald Geweld. Hy is nou weggestuur ver. Hy's diep weggegooi oor al die moorde en alles wat hy gedoen het. And this poor boy, he was the hitman for Gerald Geweld. So the Lord said, I want to love him. Wanted to love him. He said to me, Liesel, I've got, as he was sharing, start sharing his story, before sharing, he said to me, my name is Alfred. And I said, oh, Alfred. The next week, as I enter, I said, hi, Alfie, how are you? And he said, you remember my name? You remembered my name. That to that guy opened up a door for me to come in. So now he's come and he sit with me, he's telling his story. He said, no, I'm just a dog, just like my father. Alfie is in prison since 13 years old. Because at 10 years old, when he committed this crime, he can't go in still. It was a normal day for Alfred. And he came in where his father really raped his little sister like crazy. And so as he see that, something just loosened in his mind. And so he start hitting the guy with something. And the guy throw him back, come back, do it. He continue with his job, not worrying about this guy. And so he go and he grab a knife. And so he come to his father and he stab him and the father died. And the mom comes in and the mom said, you let my man die, so you should go to prison. You're dog. You are a dog. And that word started resonating with this boy and he started thinking, if I'm a dog, I should do stuff like a dog. So he ended up with geweld. And geweld started becoming a dad to him, giving him everything. Showing all the bad robes, everything. He had murders on his arm that are longer than my two arms. He just killed you. If you come in front of Alfred, he will kill you. No matter what. There was an anger inside of this boy that nobody will understand. And as I love this guy, I couldn't understand, Lord, why? Will you let me love this black guy with all the murders in his heart? You know, my mom was praying every week as I go. She said, please, Lord, I don't want this kid to go to prison again because it's a dangerous place. But the Lord showed me through love, good listening, you can save people. And Alfred gave his life to the Lord. He had 53 lives. Imprisonment. You know, one life is prior to your whole life. You will never come out of prison. But he's got 53 cases against him And he's got life in prison. He gave his life to the Lord. Guys, this is a true story. We prayed, and I said to him, you're not a dog. You're something that the Lord created. You have a purpose in this life. Somebody should show it to you. And you know, he started calling me mom, and all the guys were now, wat is verkeerd met jou, Jay? Soek aandag by die auntie. Ek sê, kom, julle ook, ek het vir jou ook lief. Kom, jy kan ook my kind wees. And you know what? He went to parole. And the Lord set him free of that stuff. The time that is coming to prison is the time that everyone died with that guy. So the Lord was gracious on him. When if he was outside, he was dead as well. But the Lord helped him. And now he's in the dwellings. He called me, Mama, you know what? I'm a pastor now of the church. He was a dog. Do we really stop to listen to people? Do we think we can help people by just listening? What went wrong in your life? It's not about us if we come to salvation. Then we need to step back. Now, it's Lord, what can I do? So many people tell me, Lizzo, you need to be careful. You are going to burn out. But this morning again, if you go to the throne room of grace, he will give you, and then you will go out. It's not about you. It's the same way about boldness. You don't want to go out because you're not with the one who gave you the boldness. Jesus is the one giving it to us. And that's why listening is so important. If you become quiet, you see, oh, that guy that is preaching, it didn't come easy for him. You've got church hurt like crazy. The scars that are on you. But if you in the church and say, oh, I'm leaving the church because the people hurt me too much, then you won't fulfill what the Lord has for you. We are all broken people. We have scars. But thank you that we can go to him and ask, Lord, can you please heal my scar? There's no church that don't have problems. This is my first church after I come from a church where they say, please go. We don't want to see you ever again here. We don't want to see you. Go. And you will come back here begging us to let you in. So sad. As I enter this church, this is home. I said, Lord, if they can throw me out here, they can stand on me, they can stab me, I'm going to stay until you say go. Because this is the Lord's church. It's not our church. And I'm so grateful for the pastors and the leaders of Shofar overall because they taught us to love well. You've got the people out there that shout at you and say, oh, you come to salvation, you need to be. But there's no love inside of you. Before you say to people, you need to change your life, please, just listen to them. My kids know I always tell them to listen. My kids, let's say, listen, man. Let's say, you could be from here. Sy wil nou weer priek, en ek sê, luister. Regtig. Dan maak ek my toe in my kamer, dan priek ek vir die Here, want hy luister vir my altyd. I'm going to him. I said to them, you know what, I just received a word from the Lord. I think this is what he want to say. And they carry on their phones. Now I know, no, you don't have time for me. I'm going. The Lord has always time. He's got time for us. He's not like men that say, go. Not in the mood. The Lord is silent. We hear the word of the Lord telling us. There was wind. There was fire. There was an earthquake. But in the stillness, God was speaking. So if we quiet our hearts, it's so much easy for us to enter in. It's so much easy for us to enter in. Never look to somebody who are very quiet in church and say, oh, this person, oh, he's very quiet. It's not sometimes how it is. you want to talk. Just give you a chance to talk and you give it. You just missed. You know how difficult it is to be a small group leader, people? Everyone wants to speak. And if you say, guys, we need to. Now, you know what, small group wasn't like it, because this is it. You can't disciple people anymore. I'm in the office always because I disciple you. I will give it to you as the Lord wants me to give it to you. I will take the hiding, but I will go again telling you this is not how it's supposed to be. Because the Lord gave me the authority to be your leader. And the Lord urged us in the Bible that we should really love our leaders, love our pastors, help them to do what they do well. Nobody chose himself. We all are leaders, but wait till it's your time. And what the Lord showed me, if you've got respect for the people who teach you, who taught you stuff, I can place you in that position. But if you the one say, I'm not going to small group because this way, and I'm not going to church. Oh, Pastor Richard, it's too long. No. You come with the wrong attitude to the throne room of grace. People stand on my head, tomorrow I'll go again, Rosita. I had one lady, we were five, and we sit in front of her, and she said to us, there's only one amongst you who will stay. And so now we ask, who's that? She said, because you, the other four of you, you're not teachable at all. We need to die to self and say, you know what? Even Alfred can taught me a lot of things. But because he doesn't look like me, smell like me, all the stuff, now I feel I'm better. I sit with him and I said, what's on your mind? In the things that's come out of him is so beautiful. Alfred will say at the ministry, Liesel, this one don't have food. Can I take his food for him? This one don't have. Then we've got Andre and Sina. They loved each other. They walk hand in hand and they are stone drunk. But you sit in church and you sit there and I sit there. You don't even lock eyes with me. They taught me this stuff. It's not because of who you are. God can't use you to show me something. In our quietness, in our listening to others, we will see what God has for us. If somebody in this week come to you, I urge you to listen. Maybe the Lord sent that person to you to listen. When my daughters were small, I said to them, listen well, so that you don't need to go and study hard for the exams. And they like, how will that be? I said, listen. If you listen, you can hear the teacher in the exam room. And you will know the answer. And it happened, guys. And they are very well in school by that principle. There was, Timmy said, in one day in class, it was worrying and stuff happened and what, and she was so stressed out. And she get a picture of a scripture on the wall as she walked up in the wall of our home. Greater is he that's inside of me than he that's in the world. And she said, Mommy, I felt the Lord. He's inside of you. So she got quiet and the Lord can tell us something. But if we talk, nothing happened. Even what we have, the Lord can take away from us if we are not hearing what he's telling us. May God bless us this week in our listening. May the Lord really help us in our understanding that there's people out there who needs us. We want so badly to do a sermon. But we can be a good teacher by listening to others, by loving them. And if we listen, then it means, I love you. Because I can hear your deep wounds. I hear with my heart It's not about you talking all the time. The whole Groendal, in all his brokenness. When Nita drive through Groendal, they shout, Kule, wow. I say, Nita, I'm driving before you think you're going to go out of this car. Coming to pick up a, the guys are all around me, my kids say, we're not going with you to the shop. You just stop. Do you know this guy in Pick-a-Pay? You talk to him all the time. What's wrong with you? You know what? This is my purpose in life. This is my purpose. What is yours? What is yours? You've got a story to tell. Listen, and somebody will tell you. You too, like we heard this morning. There's somebody been through a lot. They don't have people to talk to. May God bless you this week. Amen. Lord, we can do your will, Father, to listen to others. Father, tonight we want to say thank you for listening to us, Lord. Lord, what will happen to us if we come to you? We ask you something, and you don't listen to us. So tonight, Lord, we repent, Father. I repent, Lord, for not listening to others. Thank you, Lord, that you are our Father. You care for us, Lord. Lord, you care for each and every word that is coming out of the mouth of each other. Lord, you are waiting for us to come and speak with you. Give us that grace, Father, to listen to others as they are struggling. Yes, people, Lord God, even tonight, that feel lonely, that feel distant, they don't know how to speak to. Thank you that we are a church full of people that decided tonight, Lord, I want to be a good listener. I want to listen to somebody. I want to love somebody because of what Jesus has done for me. We thank you for your love, Lord. In Jesus' name.